We'll be beginning, Mark 8, beginning in verse 11, and if you don't have a Bible, it will be up on the screen, and we'll be reading down through verse number 21. I hope we're not growing weary of Mark, because after today's message, we are getting into a big shift in the book, as we are getting to the point where Jesus is now going to begin making his way to the cross. And he is now, you'll just see a huge shift when we get to 27. And Jesus begins sort of dealing mostly with his disciples and teaching them some things. And three times he says, I'm going to Jerusalem. They're going to beat me. They're going to whip me. They're going to kill me. And the disciples go, no, they won't. And they still don't get it. So this has been a great blessing for me to kind of being reintroduced to the life of Jesus. Let's read. Beginning in verse number 11. Hear God's word. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit. And Jesus said, why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. And he left them, and he got into the boat again, and he went to the other side. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 12. And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let's pray. Father, you know, we're just like these guys. We're just like them. You just multiplied the bread and then you did it again. You awakened the ears of the deaf man. And here we're just like him. We're in the boat. And we're on the dry land and we're saying, you know, we only have one loaf. Where are we going to get bread from? And we're right in the presence of majesty and deity, the Creator. And we still don't get it. And we panic and we worry and we fret and we act as if you're just a little bitty guy. And Lord, how you sighed in your spirit when the Pharisees said, show us a sign. And you already showed them so many. And I think you sighed as well when your disciples just still couldn't get it. And Lord, as I studied this and read through this, I had to admit, I'm just like Peter, and I'm just like the others, and many times I don't get it. So, Father, today, help us to get it. If there are those here who are like the Pharisees, may you open their heart, may they get it. If there are those here, we are disciples of Jesus, and we still struggle, and we still have hardened hearts because we're choosing not to believe. Change our hearts today. So do a Spirit's work today as we again look at your Son in Christ's name. Amen. Bad eyes and bad ears. Any of you ever have bad eyes? Any of you have bad ears? Any of you have both? Yeah. It was funny. We were driving back from Illinois yesterday, and it was my dad and myself in the front seat and Kelly and my mom in the back seat. So my dad would tell me something up here, and then my mom, who couldn't hear him, would repeat exactly what he said. I already heard it, you know. And he didn't even say, I already told him. So it was really kind of funny. But the disciples had bad eyes and bad ears. Couldn't see and couldn't hear. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees especially. I was reminded that several years ago when I was still in college in Florida, I would always, when I earned that seniority, would schedule my vacation around Christmas time. So the last day of school, I'd go to school from 7 till 12. I'd go to work from 12 to 8. And then I'd go home, we'd pack up, and we'd leave. And we'd drive from Lakeland to here. Now, that was back in the days when you had to go 55 if you were a godly person, right? And it took a lot longer to get here. We got about 3 or 4 hours into the trip, and you know what happens in Florida, right? It gets foggy. There were some days when I would drive into school, I'd have to cross Highway 60. You could not see. I would just close my eyes and say, God bless, boom! No, I didn't. But it was scary. So we got to the point where we're on the interstate. We could not see right in front of the car. It was so bad. So we are looking and looking for a place just to get off. And we happened to see an exit. So we went on that exit and we saw this hotel that in our day, it was an expensive hotel. We would never stay there. But it's the only one we saw. So we pulled in, and I think we only had Abby at this time. And she doesn't remember probably, but we pulled in there. And we got a room and we just, we went to bed there and we got up the next day and the fog had lifted. And I looked out the window. Do you know what I saw as I looked out the window? The Super 8, yeah. Fred's Motel, $20, yeah. We saw restaurants and hotels and gas stations all around us. And I thought, I can't believe that was there and I never could see it. That's exactly what was going on here. These religious leaders and these disciples of Jesus were right next to God in flesh, but they just couldn't see it. They were in the fog. And it was such a weird feeling. The religious leaders are choosing to reject him. The disciples are believing, but they're in a process of believing. I wholeheartedly believe that salvation is instantaneous when God opens your heart, but it's also a process. It's also the process of the Spirit of God convicting you, drawing you, introducing Jesus to you. But when he gives you birth, that's instantaneous. And the disciples were believers, but they still were struggling. I don't know exactly when God opened their heart. I don't know if I can tell you. Although some think it was next week's message. Well, not next week's message, but the passage. They were waiting for me to preach it so long ago, which might be true. But they're on the path of believing, but they're just in a fog. And we read about them, and it just boggles your mind. Why didn't you just walk up to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, why don't you just multiply some bread? Because you did it before. But they're going, man, where are we going to get bread? And we're going, what? They're in the boat and the storm comes and Jesus is right there with them. Why didn't they just kick back and put their hands up like this and say, he'll take care of it? Aren't you and I just like them? Right? Aren't you and I just like them? We don't kick back and say, he'll take care of it. He knows what he's doing. He is in the boat with me. And I had to realize again that little old Tim is just like these guys. How about little old you? And again, it just fortifies the fact that what a Savior we have, right? Who's so patient with us. And he was so patient with these guys. But do you know it's so dangerous to be next to Jesus and be in the fog? And not see and not hear? To come to church and hear the teachings of Jesus and still be in the fog? To know the facts of the gospel and still be in the fog and not get it? To be around others who know Jesus and still not get it? To know some Bible truths and to even believe some moral issues that the church in general would hold to, but not be a child of God. Do you know where I have found that there are many Bible scholars located? In jail. You wouldn't believe it. You honestly would not believe it. The knowledge of those guys sitting out in front of you, it boggles my mind that they know truths, they know facts, but they're not God's child. Big difference. You see, that night for us in Florida, it only cost us a few extra dollars. But spiritually, it can cost you your very life. And I think there are millions who are around Jesus, around God's people, around truth, but they've never repented and God has never opened their heart. For you and I as believers, we can be with Jesus in the boat and still live like beggars. Do you ever feel like as a child of God, you're just still a beggar? You just know you should be here, but it just seems like I can't get there. Guess what? That never ends, right? Because it's a constant state of growth. But sometimes we just live like weaklings and beggars rather than a child of the King. And if that's true sometimes, maybe you ought to backtrack and examine if you truly are a child of the King. So in this passage today, Mark is urging his readers to watch out for the dangers of spiritual blindness and spiritual unbelief according to the authority of Jesus. So I want to get back in Matthew 7 and just real briefly remind us where we're at here. In verses 31 to 37, Jesus is still ministering to the Gentiles. He's showing them, and Mark is emphasizing this, that he loves the Gentiles. Remember the lady who came to the table 2 weeks ago? He wants them to know that you, the Jews, have rejected me. I'm coming to the Gentiles. And Jesus, in verse 31 to 37, heals this man who is deaf. He cannot hear. He has a speech impediment because of that. And Jesus heals him. And I found this amazing. If you look in verse 37, they were astonished. The Gentiles were astonished beyond measure. And they said, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. That's absolutely amazing. Matthew's account of this says that these people glorified the God of Israel. And it's amazing that God's people, the Jewish people, are rejecting Jesus, but the Gentiles are glorifying him. And they're starting to get it. The Jews hated them, but they're getting it. And Jesus causes this man's ears to be opened. I think this is significant that Mark put this before this next account, and he put the opening of the eyes behind it. Because what's the disciples' problems? Their ears and their eyes. So Jesus heals them. In chapter 8, then, Jesus goes back to Galilee. They get back in the... Well, actually, I jumped ahead a little bit. He feeds the 4,000 this time. This is a separate feeding. Before it was 5,000. Now he feeds the 4,000. And it's absolutely amazing in verse 4 of chapter 8. Well, verse 2, Jesus had compassion on them because they had nothing to eat. And in verse 4, his disciples come up to Jesus and say, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? If I was Jesus right there, I'd say, what? You ever say that to your kids? What? What? Didn't you just hear me? Do I have to repeat myself over? How many times have I said that? But Jesus doesn't mention it yet, but he's going to mention it here in just a little bit. How could they walk up to him? Now, maybe it's possible they were trying to give him a hint. You know, Jesus, I'm not sure how we're going to get some bread. I don't think so. It's just amazing. So Jesus doesn't say a word, and he says again, how many loaves do you have? And there he feeds the 4,000, and doesn't count who else is there, the women and the children. Verse 8 says, they ate and satisfied. They took up the broken pieces and had 7 baskets left over. There were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. Verse 10, they get into the boat, and they're going back into Galilee now, away from Gentile territory. And they went into this area. In fact, Matthew tells us now when this next account happens, they're on dry land. But in the boat, they only had 1 loaf of bread. And so look in verse 11. The Pharisees came, Matthew says also the Sadducees, the religious leaders, and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. It's almost as if they were waiting for him. He had been gone for a good long time. He had been up in Gentile territory above the Sea of Galilee, way up high up over Israel. He was up in there, and it's almost as if they were waiting for Jesus to get back. And finally, Jesus gets back, and they come there to argue. The Greek word is to dispute with him, and they demand from him a sign. Give us a sign from heaven. It's interesting if you go back to Nicodemus, who was the religious leader. Remember what he said when he came to Jesus at night? Why did he come at night? Afraid, right? Because the religious leaders would kick you out. And remember, here's what he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs unless God is with him. In fact, other religious leaders began to believe on Jesus, but John tells us in chapter 12, verse 42, even the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they didn't confess it so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. So it's interesting as you get this perspective by some of these religious leaders, but they knew that he was doing these signs, so they come to him and they say, Jesus, show us a sign from heaven. I think they were just waiting. I think they had been planning this for a long time. How are we going to get him? How are we going to get him? Here's what we'll do. Here's what we'll do. As soon as we get back, we'll tell him that we need to see a sign from heaven. And he won't be able to do it. And that'll prove to everybody that he is not truly the Messiah. And it's interesting to see how Jesus handled this. In fact, it was a well-known fact that the Pharisees would call down signs. If they said such and such is going to happen, and they'll say, show us a sign. It will happen when the sun turns, and they would do all these crazy things. So this was kind of consistent with their beliefs. But Matthew tells us that here is Jesus' answer. Matthew 16. Jesus says, when it's evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it'll be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You see, Jeff Lyons was not the first weatherman. Or for some of you who are a little bit older, Marcia Yockey, right, was not the first weather lady. Jesus says, you religious leaders are pretty decent weather people, even with your crude ability to do it. You know the sky is red, in the morning it's stormy. But listen to what else Jesus says. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. Wow. How often are we worried about the weather, but not concerned about the signs of the times in which we live in? But notice what Jesus did in verse 12 of Mark 8. He sighed deeply. Well, I'm glad Mark put that in there. This Greek word means a very deep, intense groan inside his soul. Why did he do that? Because of their unbelief? Because of their blindness? What an indictment against them. You're good weather, man, but here I am, the Messiah, the Son of God, the sent one. John the Baptist told of me, you've seen all of these signs that I've done. You can tell when it's going to rain and all that, or when there's going to be a storm. But I am here, and you cannot see the signs of the times. I thought of Galatians 4:4, when Paul wrote, when the fullness of the time had come, the time, the fullness, the perfect time had come, God sent forth his Son. What son? He was made of a woman, Mary, born under the law. He was born under the system of the law. Why was he born? To redeem those who were under that law so that we might be adopted as sons into his family. It was the perfect time. God sent his son. But here are these religious leaders who look so good on the outside, who could tell when the storms were coming. But here is God in front of them. And they have no idea the signs of the time. I tell you what, that's danger, right? That's a dangerous, dangerous thing. Because remember what they had seen? They had seen him heal the deaf man, cause the blind to see, healed withered hands. Remember the paralytic that was dropped through? Well, they didn't drop. You don't want to drop a guy. He was lowered into the house. They had watched all this. They had heard of his healings, the raising from the dead. And they come to him, hey, show us a sign. Unbelievable. Their blindness. And you know why they're blind? They're choosing to be blind. I understand and believe wholeheartedly in the sovereignty of Almighty God and all of that truth. But the truth also, the Bible says, is people choose to not believe. They choose it. And they are held responsible for that choice. And it's neat here to see in verse 12, Jesus says, why does this generation seek a sign? He didn't say, why do these Jewish religious leaders seek a sign? He includes everybody. Why does this generation seek a sign? And he absolutely refuses to give these guys any sign whatsoever. However, Matthew tells us that Jesus does add something that Mark didn't say. Matthew says it's an evil and adulterous generation that seeks a sign. Are you a person that's always seeking a sign? We'll talk about that in a second. It's an adulterous and evil generation. But Jesus said in Matthew, there's already been a sign given. It's a sign of Jonah. Now, we've been through Jonah, right? Our study of Jonah. There's a sign already given. What was the sign that Matthew said. How many days was Jonah in the big fish? 3 days and three nights, right? So here's what Matthew said. The Son of Man will be in the earth for 3 days and three nights, as was Jonah. And the people of Nineveh, who repented, right, will rise up in judgment against you because they repented and you will not, their choice. So this is a sign of salvation, deliverance, the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it's a sign of judgment because you will not repent. And then Matthew added that Jesus said, and by the way, someone a lot greater than Jonah is here right now, Jesus Christ. And so he says, you need to look back at the what? Scriptures. Your scriptures have already given you a sign. It's the sign of Jonah. I thought it was so neat that he took them to the scriptures. Isn't that something? Here Jesus, the miracle worker, took them where? To God's book. And an evil and adulterous generation is always looking for some kind of sign. Oh, believe if I could see a sign. Now listen, I wholeheartedly believe in the sovereignty of God. Without that, I don't know how you could live another day, right? Right, Bill, from your testimony? How could you live if you didn't know that there was a God in control of your life? I don't know how people live who live thinking that everything's just chance and luck. You don't live like that, do you? And I've said this a million times, church softball games, church basketball games. All right, gather around and everybody pray. Oh, God bless, keep us safe and protect us that no one gets hurt. May we be good sports. Amen. And what's everybody say after that? Good luck, good luck, good luck, good luck. What? Why pray? Why not just get up there and say, God, may luck be upon us tonight. I just thought it's so neat how he took them to Scripture. Now notice this. In verse 13, Jesus left them. Many scholars say that they think there's more in that little statement than just he physically left them. He left them. I want to tell you, if Jesus leaves you, you're in trouble. He left them, got into the boat again, and went to the other side. Why did he leave them? They were blinded spiritually. Do you remember when Jesus told the story in Luke 16 about the rich man and Lazarus? Some think that's a true story. Some think it's a parable. I believe it's a parable. I still love you if you think it's not. But remember that story? They both died, didn't they? The rich man died. The poor man died. The rich man had everything. The poor man had nothing. The poor man was a beggar at the rich man's table. So the rich man woke up where? In burning torment. The poor man who had nothing, who was a child of God, woke up in paradise. Remember what the rich man wanted while he was in hell? Just put your finger in a little water and touch my tongue. This is horrible. But later on, the rich man asked Abraham to send Lazarus back to his five brothers, because he didn't want them to come there. Remember that? Do you remember what Abraham said? They won't even believe if somebody rises from the dead. Listen to this. Abraham, in this parable, took him back to the scriptures. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. What is Moses and the prophets? The scriptures. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if somebody goes to them from the dead, they'll repent. Abraham said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. What was Abraham even saying? Go back to the precious words of God. If they will reject the precious words of God, they will not accept somebody rising from the dead. Now, jump forward to Easter, which is in 5 weeks, I think. When Jesus rose from the dead, did they suddenly believe, these Pharisees? The disciples did, but the Pharisees, did they? What did they do? They gave the Roman soldiers money to lie, right? It didn't matter. They did not want a sign to believe. They just wanted a sign because of their unbelief to try to disprove Jesus. So they get back in the boat, and they're heading back to another area. So Jesus, his disciples, and one loaf of bread. And again, remember, believing can be a process. And we might talk about this next week, but don't try to shorten that process with people. Don't try to shorten that with your kids. Don't try to make them walk an aisle. Don't try to make your kids pray a prayer. Don't send them to camp and tell the camp leader, listen, he's saved by the time he comes home or else. Parents do that, you know. The Holy Spirit has to awaken people's souls, right? Don't try to force your kids to pray a prayer or anything, or an adult or anybody. Salvation is a Holy Spirit process. It's instantaneous when God gives new birth. And they are still struggling with these dull hearts, his disciples. And I think it's almost funny what happens next. Look at verse 14. Now they had forgotten to bring bread. They had just been through the feeding of 4,000 plus, and there's all this bread, right? And they forgot to bring bread. I think that's kind of funny. They had no bread. Dan Coyle, they're out of town today, but he took me through Lewis Bakery, where he works, and took me on a tour. There's a lot of bread. I got to tell you, that is one smelling, beautiful smelling place, right? I try to run by Lewis Bakery, and it's like, almost heaven, Lewis Bakery, right? It is absolutely. And here's this bread going along the line, and if it's not perfect, they throw the bread in like these big trash cans, clean trash cans. So he walks up to one, pulls out a piece of bread and starts eating. Here, have a piece. Okay. Oh, that's delicious. And I got to take home one fresh loaf of bunny bread. Now, I'm not a breadaholic, but I can tell you, that was a lot better than you get in the store the next day. It was absolutely wow. And I think I wanted to hang it on the wall and say, this is my special bread. My loaf. It was so fresh. You could lay it out and sleep on it. It was just so like that memory foam. Ah, it's wonderful. Well, they only had one loaf. And they had all this bread. And they forgot the bread. But it seems like all they can think about is bread. So they're on the other side, finally, Matthew tells us, and all they're talking about is bread. Look at verse 15. Well, verse 14. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, had only one loaf with them in the boat, and he cautioned them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Verse 16. They began discussing with one another the fact they had no bread. So Jesus finally speaks up. And these are the only two commands in the passage. I have them circled in my Bible, or I have the Greek words in front of them. Watch out and beware. It's the only commands in this passage whatsoever. The word watch out is hara'o, which has to do with looking upon and perceiving, being alert. The other word is blepo, which means to see. So Jesus is talking about their eyes and their spiritual eyes. So something's going on here. As they got out of the boat, they only have one loaf of bread, and Jesus apparently is burdened in his heart about something. They're burdened about eating. He's burdened about something greater. And so Jesus finally speaks up. In verse 15, he cautions them, pay attention. Pay attention. This is important. This is life-changing. Your life depends upon this. You need to listen. He cautioned them. Watch out. Have you ever been driving and somebody in the car says, look out. I can never see what they see. Do you? I always say, calm down and tell me what you see, you know. But that's just the natural reaction is, watch out. Jesus is deeply burdened. And he says, harate, watch out. And then beware. I do a lot of running all over the city, and I see a lot of signs on people's fences. Beware. Beware of the dog, right? Beware. And I never put my hand over, hi, nice doggy. I just let him bark at me, and I say, hey, I'm glad I was able to give you some fun this few minutes today. These are deep words. You need to be observant. You need to watch. You need to look. You need to perceive beyond your physical eyes. Jesus is saying to his men, this is important. This is more important than bread. This is more important than sports. This is more important than how you look physically. This is more important about your job. This is more important about anything. You need to watch out. Beware. Any of you like NASCAR? I know several of you do. What do they call the guy that's always up high with the binoculars? The spotter, right. There in NASCAR, they have a spotter that's way up high. He has a system to talk to his crew chief, to talk to NASCAR and the driver. In fact, a driver cannot be on the track to practice. He cannot qualify. He cannot race unless his spotter is there. Why does he have a spotter? Because he can't see everything. I don't know how they see anything. Do you, if you follow the sport? I mean, they've got these seats are like wrapped around them, you know, and they've got this huge helmet on. I don't know how they see. Well, that spotter is the eyes and ears of that driver. And they are in constant communication, and that drive, and think about that spotter. I mean, let's say you're at the Daytona 500, right? Now, 500 miles takes you a little while to drive, even if you're going 200 miles an hour. You got cautions, you know, and pre-race stuff. Now, that spotter's way up high. That spotter cannot leave, right? Can you imagine Jeff Gordon's driving around in traffic, and his spotter says, "Hey, Jeff, I got to go to the bathroom." "Okay, I'll pull over to the side. There's a rest stop here on turn 4. I think I'll get a Coke," right? Can't go to the restroom. You can't take a break. You can't sit down. I did see some chairs up there, but you're not sitting down during that race. I mean, you can't do anything. You can't go down and get a Snickers bar. You can't call your mom. You can't answer the phone. You can't do anything. Why? Because you have to watch out, right? And you have to beware. And you're telling your driver, if you've ever listened to them, you ought to. If you haven't, you ought to. It's really fascinating. Go left, go left, go to the left. You know, it's just amazing. They talk so fast and they have this code. That's what Jesus is saying to his guys, his followers. You need to constantly watch. Don't let anything get in your way of stopping you from watching and bewaring. And both of these words have to do with your eyes and your ears. So what's Jesus concerned about? Bread or something else? So notice again what he says here. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Matthew adds also the Sadducees, and Jesus said the leaven of Herod. So we got three groups here. We got the religious leader and political leaders. What does leaven do in bread? It makes it rise, right? Did you ever put too much in? Leaven has to do with influence, and it causes things to spread. So Jesus says to them, you need to watch out and be a spotter with this thing that spreads and will get inside your heart. And it will affect you, and it will not stop growing, growing, growing. I watched some commercial about insulation. You seen the kind of insulation they spray? It's really cool. The guy's dressed up like an astronaut. And it goes on real thin. What's it do? It's awesome. It just grows. Then they take a knife and cut it straight. I don't want to do that so bad. It looks like so much fun. It spreads. And Matthew tells us that at the very end, they finally got it. Oh, Jesus is talking about the teaching. So Jesus is saying from a burdened heart, guys, I love you. Be careful. Be careful from what they say and from what they do and from what they teach you. You must be careful of their teaching, their unbelief, their hypocrisy, their immoral actions. Because it will spread into your lives. Jesus is burdened. He's going to be gone soon. Very serious. Now, do you think the disciples got it? Do you ever have a serious talk with your kids and you just know, you know what? I don't think they had a clue what I was saying. You know? I have a clue. You got to be careful who you hang around because of the influence that they'll have in your life. You just got to be careful. Can we go to Dairy Queen? What? You know? What? Listen, there's some dangerous people out there, and you got to be careful. Hey, can I have that dress? You know? What? It's like premarital counseling. Aubrey, getting married in a month. Getting nervous? Mom and Dad? No, you know. You know, this young couple comes to you and you tell them all these things and you're sitting in your chair and you know you're going, they're not getting this. They just love each other, right? They're getting it though because they're sharp, right? Hey, we were there once, right? You have to go through it, right? You got to go through it. You got to live it and realize you're marrying a bum. not your bum. No, I mean, wait a minute. I know what I mean. But sometimes we try to impress on people, this is so important. And you just know they're not getting it, right? Guess what? We're all like that, aren't we? We're all like that. And the disciples here just hear this two commands. That's all there are in this whole passage. Watch out and beware. Now look at verse 16. They begin discussing with one another, hey, we ain't got no bread. Jesus just pours his heart out. Beware. Oh, be so careful.
Hey, guess what? We ain't got no bread.
I picture the disciples huddling up. He's concerned. We don't have any bread. We got one loaf. We got one bag of bunny bread. Bread. And that's all they can think about. And it's just mind-boggling. He just made thousands and thousands of bread and fish. And they're saying, Jesus is concerned about we only have one loaf of bread. What's he going to do? It's mind-boggling. They just didn't get it. Have you ever done something or thought something and realized later you went, boy, that was just stupid. Can I be that stupid? Do you know years ago, you remember when Princess Diana was killed in the car wreck? I really am embarrassed to even admit this. But I remember we were watching TV and the reports came on, and it said, Princess Diana is in a serious accident, and they showed it, and they said, and the paparazzi were chasing her. And you know what my first thought was? Why was that opera singer Pavarotti chasing her? I never heard the word paparazzi, right? I never in my life heard paparazzi. Have you? I never heard a paparazzi. I thought maybe it was a pizza. But I'm not kidding you. I think it was like 10 o'clock at night our time. I think I was laying in bed, and I remember actually thinking, why was he chasing her? And I want to tell you, that stayed in my mind for several minutes, and it was bothering me. Gee, the guy can sing? Why? And it just, okay, now you know what dumb is, right? That is a funny picture, though. It is, I will get you. But anyway, right. Oh, goodness. Now you know how the disciples kind of felt, right? Or Jesus felt. What? Beware of this sin and this teaching. We ain't got no bread. Now we read it and go, well, we can see it. So this is much deeper than a misunderstood word. Look at verse 17. Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact you have no bread? What? What are you doing? Don't you perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? And then he lowers the boom in verse 18, bad eyes and bad ears. Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? You know what I think Jesus is saying? Don't you realize who I am? You've been with me. I've explained parables to you. Are you in the fog? Because Matthew tells us at the very end, they finally said, oh, he ain't talking about bread. He's talking about the teaching of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and Herod. And then the next miracle, which we'll also touch next week, just to mention, Jesus heals a blind man. I just think it's fascinating that in front of this story and behind it, he heals the man with bad ears and he heals a man with bad eyes. And what did he say about the disciples? Don't you see and don't you hear? I think Mark did that on purpose, and I think it also flows into what Peter says next time. I want to make just some quick applications and from this section here. And I think I have those on the back of your bulletin, but just some dangers to avoid. The first one is avoid looking for signs rather than looking for Jesus. Avoid looking for signs. Again, I think we can see God in our life, right? All of us have said, that was God, right? We can see that. That's different than looking for signs for God to prove himself to you. as the Pharisees were just trying to reject him. So I do not deny that at all. I'm not denying that you can't say, wow, that's amazing what God did there. That's amazing what God did there. A few years back, I preached a funeral for a family, and at the funeral home, the daughter came up to me, and her daughter-in-law it was, and she said, you know, my mother-in-law, she loved hummingbirds, and this morning when I got up, there was a hummingbird on the back porch of her house, and lo and behold, in this funeral home, there was a hummingbird painted on the wall. And she said, I just know God is showing me he's here because of the hummingbird and the hummingbird up there. So I said, what are you talking about, woman? No, I didn't. I am very gracious, and I just said, you know, that's neat. God's an amazing God. Now, could God put that hummingbird there? Is he not in charge of creation? He sure is. But that's different than seeing God's amazing creation and saying, show me a sign. And I think that woman was a little off, but I was very kind. Several years ago, I went to work, and we lived in Florida at the airport. And that morning in my yard, they had put a big construction sign, big orange. It said, begin construction. They were doing some work on the road. So I went to work, and I came home, and Kelly went to the doctor that day, and she shows me this x-ray thing. And she said, I'm pregnant. Now, that's a sign. When they put that in your yard, begin construction, and your wife gets pregnant. They did that again 2 years later. I pulled that sign out of the yard. No. That's quite a sign. You know, I know people who live like that. They live like, they just look for these little things. And it's just, that's not, God doesn't want us to live like that. Jesus was right there with them and they couldn't see it. And it wouldn't have mattered what Jesus did, right? They were going to reject him. It didn't matter. Look what he'd already done. He raised dead people. He cast out wild men and demons, and they saw them. They went into the pigs, and the pigs ran. Oh, they didn't care about a sign. They were trying to deny Jesus, and it really showed their unbelief. Didn't Jesus say, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at their Father's side, that's Jesus, has made him known. John 14:9 says, have I been with you so long, and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How do we see Jesus today? We've been seeing Mark for how many weeks now? 19, we're only halfway through. You see Jesus. Remember after the resurrection when these two men were walking on the road to Emmaus? Remember their spirit? They were all discouraged, weren't they? We thought this was the one. We thought this was the Messiah. We thought he was our hope. And they said, where you been, man? They killed him. Where you been? Remember what Jesus did? He said, let me show you a sign. And he created 12 sheep right there. These are the 12 tribes of Israel. Is that what he did? Remember what Jesus did? Beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted in all the scriptures the things about himself. What did Jesus do? He took him to scriptures. What did Abraham do in that parable? He took him to the scriptures. What did Jesus do to these religious leaders? He took them to the scriptures. I think we have in front of us a gift that we take for granted, right? The very breath of the Holy Creator is in our grasp and we just don't get it, right? Somebody told me at the funeral Friday night. No, it was after the funeral yesterday. And they came up to me and she shook my hand and she said, thank you for being bold enough to preach the truth because I've heard so many preachers who are scared. I'm going, hey, praise God. Thank you for telling us about heaven and hell and there is a consequence. Wow, I love hearing that. But sadly enough, there are so many. Why preach this book? Why spend 45 minutes to an hour sitting there listening to one guy speak when we can just show a couple of videos and have a good old time together, right? And let me just share a few things to make you feel good, right? And I think the Bible makes you feel good, right? Sometimes, like today, it spanks us in the bottom side, right? Why aren't you getting it? What a gift we have. Avoid the danger of looking for signs. rather than looking for Jesus, even if you're unsaved, you need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. Second thing, avoid being infected with the mindset that separates from Jesus, because leaven separates from Jesus. Beware, hara'o, blepete, you look, you see, beware, keep your eyes open. Be the spotter all the time for false teaching, for evil thoughts, because it will spread and it will take over. Do you ever realize when you've been taken over by evil thought? Somebody you work with? Have you ever found out that evil bleeds over quicker than good? Do you ever work with somebody who constantly complains against management, complains against the boss, complains against your pay, complains against the benefits, complains against the working conditions, and all of a sudden you realize you're doing what? The same thing. And then you go, I used to like this job, you know? I really used to enjoy. I'm not saying you can't ever switch jobs or anything, but have you ever found out? Have you ever had somebody in your family that, you know, I always get picked on because I just flat out hate doing dishes. I really think that's of the devil. I think God created styrofoam plates for a purpose, right? So the other day, Whitney and a few of them were imitating me doing the dishes, and I got to admit, it was kind of funny, you know. It's kind of convicting, but it was kind of funny as well, you know. Then everybody started joining in. I'm over there crying in the corner, stop it, I'm evil, you know. But isn't it amazing how even in your home, complaining can just spread? I mean, you're just having a wonderful day, and all it takes is one kid to come home, and life is over. Or what's the old saying, if mama ain't happy? Not even the dog. But you see, things can get in and spread. And I think he's talking more about just that. But truth and false teaching. I never watched the Academy Awards before, but I did last week. And it just makes me mad to watch that stuff. Right? To hear all the evil, false teachings. Not from all of them. You know, and we want equal rights for sexual orientation. Yay, woo, yay, woo. You know what? Here's my question. What does God say? What does God say? Not just about that, but about any sin, right? But it's leaven, isn't it? It just spreads, and it spreads, and it spreads, and it spreads. Watch out, beware. Because that stuff will separate you from God. What are some things? Here's some things that are taught in our day. Jesus is not God. There are other ways other than Jesus to heaven. Everybody goes to heaven except the really, really bad people, right? Really bad people may go to hell. And maybe you can buy them out of hell if you give the church enough money, right? People are not really sinners, and people are not dead spiritually. There's good in everybody. Now, humans can do good things, but compared to God, there is none good, no, not one, right? None that doeth good. God didn't really mean what he said in the Bible, did he? Come on. This is outdated. From an eternal God, it can never be outdated. God didn't mean what he said. Actions aren't really sinful and offense to a holy God. Humans aren't responsible for their actions. Nothing is really their fault. That's the culture we live in today. It is. It's not your fault if you went and shot 12 people at school. It's not your fault. The athletes in your school made fun of you all the time. Oh, I guess that gives you the right to murder people. Right? No, it doesn't. Was it right for athletes to make fun of people? No. But it's not his fault because... You know what? We're all going to stand before a holy God, and we're going to be held accountable. If you're in Jesus, you're forgiven. If not, you're not. But humans aren't responsible. God is how you decide to make him and how you perceive him. I had a guy tell me once, God to me is up in heaven in his Harley Davidson with his leather boots and leather outfit. He's a motorcycle rider. Okay? All right. And this is just a tiny list. And I thought of this. How are we bombarded with leaven that spreads teaching? Oh, my goodness. The airwaves, printed material, teachers. Zach was telling me one of his teachers was just jamming on marriage, wasn't it? just up there telling his whole class at Ivy Tech how horrible marriage was. And I don't remember exactly everything he said, but basically don't get married, right? It's just horrible. Why would you ever do something stupid like that? No amen from the women. Hallelujah. That's good. I think, what? What class was that?
History.
History. But he had to try to pass forth his leaven, right? It's in music, it's on TV shows, classmates, friends, and sadly, many places that call themselves churches. How do you avoid the leaven? What did Jesus say? Thy word is truth. Set them apart, Father, by your word. John 17:17. And leaven can get into your heart and you can reject Jesus, which will have an eternal result. Quickly, three. Avoid forgetting what Jesus has done and who he is. Mark 8:18. Jesus said, don't you remember? My goodness, we've only got one loaf of bread. Jesus said, don't you remember? I would have loved to have seen the expression on his face. What would the expression be on your face with your kids? Right? Hold that pose. I'm going to put it on Facebook. Don't you remember? What was he talking about there? In fact, he even tells us. I can find it. Verse 19. Don't you remember when I broke those five loaves and there were 5,000 plus sitting out there? Don't you remember that? I can just see the guys. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, you're right. That was cool. It's awesome. Then he said, how many baskets did you have left? Judas, you're the accountant. How many baskets? Yeah, Judas was there.
We had 12 baskets.
All right. Then he says, the 7 for the 4,000?
Yeah.
How many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? Judas, give us the report. I can't seem to find that file. Hold on just a second. Oh, yeah, we had 7 baskets. So Jesus is saying to them, don't you remember? He's talking to his followers now. Don't you remember? I think Jesus is probably thinking, guys, I can make as much bread as I want, right? Guys, why would I talk about bread? I am the break bakery, right? But all they were thinking about was earthly things. I just got to thinking how easy it is for us to forget and not remember. How many times as a disciple of Jesus do we really forget who we're following? Right? I do. Who our Savior really is. I wonder if people were around us, the people that are around us would ask us, if we asked them, would you describe my Savior based on my life and actions? What answer would they give you? Hey, I'm a follower of Jesus. I want you to tell me what that looks like to you. You think that'd be an eye-opener? I think it might be. Just don't ask that when you're doing dishes. I wonder if some people will say, well, here's what your life tells me about your Jesus. He's weak. He's out of control. He's bound by forces more powerful than him. He's distant. He doesn't care. He makes mistakes. He forgets about you. He's too busy helping others. He doesn't know what's best for me. Do you think your life ever tells people that about your Jesus? I think mine probably does at times. We may say, why would you say that about what I've said? You worry, you complain, you have no joy. You're never satisfied. You lose it when trials come, you panic, and on and on and on it goes. What a great point Jesus said to them. Don't ever forget who I really am. And a lost person needs to realize who he really is. He is the bread multiplier. And what was the purpose of multiplying that bread? Well, it was to feed them, but what was the main purpose? I am the bread of life. He that comes to me will never hunger and never thirst. I am the bread. You eat the bread that Moses provided. We know God brought it, but he's talking about Israel. You'll be hungry. You eat my bread, you'll never die. You know, if you're not saved, continue to find out who Jesus is. If you are saved, go back to the Gospels. Remember what Jesus you follow. And the last one. We have arrived. Since we were on a boat, we'll arrive at the marina. Pull this sucker in. Avoid missing the point. Verse 17. Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact you have no bread? Don't you perceive? Don't you understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember?" He's missing the point. They're missing the point. They're only thinking on an earthly level. About bread. You're missing it. You're not seeing it. You're lacking a spiritual sensitivity with your ears and your eyes that you're just not getting. All you're thinking about is your job, is your health, is your looks, are your investments, your car. Well, some of those things are important. But that's not how Jesus would want us to live. He wants us to not miss the point. There's more going on in your little old life and my little old life than just our finances, our mortgage, our rent, our health, the groceries we got to buy, the weather, the upcoming surgeries, the upcoming weddings, and whatever else you put. Those are important things. But I think Jesus is saying here, there's so much more than bread. Don't miss the point of your life. They were so concerned about their stomachs. They just didn't see what was going on there. As Jesus was, I think, broken in his heart, and he's just saying to these men, knowing that one of them would betray him, "Guys, watch out. Please be careful. Be careful out there. Be careful out there." Remember when Jesus was talking about Peter, and he said, "Peter, Satan desired to sift you like wheat." Remember that? You know Satan does not love you. You know that, right? And he wanted to destroy Peter. What did Jesus say to Peter? "But I want you to know I have prayed for you." Isn't that amazing? That Jesus prayed for Peter. He didn't just put a hedge of protection about him. He said, "I'm praying for you." Prayer protection. There's a lot going on in our life that's more important than just these things that dominate us, right? But sometimes we just miss the point. We got to get to work. We got to pay our bills. We got to get everybody everywhere they have to go on time. Is that your work week? Is that your week? I get everybody where they got to go on time. Got to remember, you know. My goodness, I need a calendar in front of me every day. 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Wait a minute. There's a kid stranded on the east side somewhere, right? Not quite that bad, but you know what I'm talking about. Do you cancel church? Do you keep it? Do you cancel church or keep it? Oh, gosh, what do I do? So I contact the elders hoping for a little help, and they just say, "Whatever you want to do." You know, I appreciate that confidence, but I really would like you guys to, if I make a mistake, you're right there with me, right? But isn't it easy just to get wrapped up in this little old life and forget? There's a lot more going on. Okay, we got to wrap this up. But we just fail to perceive that when those trials come, God's in it, right? Do you see God in it? Do you allow God to do his work in you and through you? And little old you, just following God, and God puts you where he wants you, and he uses you where he puts you, and he does things that you don't even have a clue that you did. I had a guy at the jail the other night share something that I said 2 or 3 months ago that he remembered, and it was a great benefit to him. I went, "Wow, that's amazing." When events during a day occur, both good and hard, do you see God in it? I do, but sometimes I see it later than I should have, right? When God puts you next to certain people, maybe at your job or in your neighborhood, do you see God in that? And doesn't sometimes God put some unique people near us? You know, your job, your cubicle, the hospital waiting room, wherever God puts you. Do we really stop and say, "You know what, God, there's something more going on here than just being in the hospital"? Do we get so wrapped up in our little life's bread that we go through the whole day missing the point? And this whole thought will be continued next week as Peter has a revelation from God who Jesus really is. So I trust today that if you're not a believer, that you'll stop looking for signs and you look for Jesus, right? Look for Jesus. In the grave, 3 days, 3 nights, rose again, ascended back to the Father. That's your proof. The resurrection is the proof. And I hope that followers of Jesus, you and I, we know we're following Jesus even though we fail, that we will not miss the point. Little old you, right? And your little old job, and your little old town, and your little old neighborhood, that this big God, Jesus, can use you. And you know something? When God shows you that, there's nothing better. Nothing better than an inmate coming up. He said, hey, I stood before the judge, and it didn't work out good, but I remember what you told me, and I did what you said. And they came back later and said, because you took that bad sentence so well, we're changing it. Wow, really? Then he said, I'm getting to go over to the safe house. I said, hold it. That is not a safe house. You still be careful over there. Bad stuff can happen over there, right, Lola? Yeah. It's not a safe house. But it's good. He can go to work now. But you know, I think sometimes we look for so many big things that we miss the little things God can do in little old you and little old me, right? So be careful if you tend to focus on the bread and not the bigger point. Father, thank you for your word. We're just like these guys. I know I am. We're just like them. And I wonder how many times you look at me and look at us and say, watch out, beware, and remember. So protect us from having bad ears and bad eyes. And Lord, as we saw that you healed the man with his bad eyes right after this, and it's interesting how you healed him gradually. Sometimes we don't get it, except gradually. Lord, our prayer is that if there's anyone in our sight of our, in our hearing today, that you have not awakened them, if they're on that process of getting to know Jesus, and I pray, God, that you would awaken their soul and help them to not look for signs, but look at Jesus, our Savior, our Rescuer, the Resurrected One, our only hope. For those of us who know you and you've given us life, help us, Lord, to not miss the point, to not be so focused on bread that things sneak into our lives and pull us away from you. Good things even. So help us to beware of false teaching. Help unbelievers to be aware of false teaching. That somehow everybody gets to go to heaven. Somehow you can work your way. Protect us from the leaven of the Pharisees, which is still going on in 2015. Thank you for Jesus and for recording down his life for us in these Gospels. So change us and grow us in Christ's name. Amen.